Well, how was your week? Did you have a holly, jolly, happy, merry Christmas? One of those? And blessed, a blessed Christmas. Yeah, I like that one too. Are you looking forward to a holly, jolly, merry, blessed New Year? Merry New Year? Doesn't sound right, does it? How come we have these things in our head that what's supposed to happen? I guess in the conversations you've had in the last couple of days, one of the questions you were asked was, did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Some of you say yes. It was quiet. Some of you say, no, I did not get the motorcycle I wanted. Oh, I remember when that was the top of my list every year. Mom and Dad never got that for me. Some of you are saying, no, I did not get the 85-inch TV I was looking forward to. Can you imagine what that would look like in my small apartment? Some of you say, yes, I got to spend some time with my family. It was peaceful. It was nice to be able to be together with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Some of you, I did some reading this week, and one of the things I read is, it is dangerous to be lonely. And this time of year, many people experience loneliness. What I read told me that really caught my eye here. I mean, as Seventh-day Adventists, this really caught my eye. For people to be lonely is worse for them than if they were smoking 2 packs of cigarettes per day. Loneliness is more likely to lead to death, higher percentage rate, than smoking, than drinking, than being overweight. I mean, we as Seventh-day Adventists, we have a wonderful health message. But when I read that, I was thinking, man, we got to do something about loneliness. If it is going, because our health message is not just to get you healthy for the here and now, it's to get you healthy for eternity. Loneliness, overcoming loneliness, having friends and fellowship is not just to have friends and fellowship now, but it's to have friends and fellowship for eternity. I want to say thank you to many of you who gave for the offering, the special offering last Sabbath. I heard from Heather. She says thank you to you. The PAMIS offering that we had last Sabbath. Thank you for those gifts. Thank you for the gifts that you give to the church. At the conclusion of our service today, there are going to be some deacons standing at the back, and they will be collecting an offering when we exit. And we say thank you for your giving for that offering, the offering that we take up for the poor. Thank you for the offering that you gave for the Women's Center, the Hope Women's Center. I mean, the toys, the clothes, the turkeys, the food. Thank you. And I could go even further saying thank you for those things. But I got to thinking about, why do we give these things? What is the purpose? Is it because that's what we were taught by our parents at Christmas time? We give and we give and we give and we give and we give some more? Is that because of what we're taught in Sabbath school? Is that because for some of us, I heard about in Sabbath school, we've been taught these things for generations, 3 generations, 4 generations, 5 generations, 6 generations. We've been encouraged to live a certain kind of lifestyle. But what is the purpose for why we do these things? I'd like for you to open your Bible. I'm going to take you to the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. words from the Sermon on the Mount here. While you're turning there, this is a commercial. After our 10 days of prayer, we're going to have 10 days of prayer starting in January 7th. Then we're going to go for 10 days there. The World Church is doing that. After those 10 days of prayer in our Bible study series, midweek service study time, we're going to be reading the book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. If we could just get everybody to read that book, I shouldn't say that. If we could get everybody to just live what Jesus taught in these three chapters, just live what Jesus taught in these three chapters, forget everything else, just live what is taught in these three chapters, oh, what a difference the world would be. What a difference our church would be. Advertisement for Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. Okay, you found Matthew 5. You guys were turning there and I was talking, so I'll find it here. Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What is the purpose for our giving to Pumas? We hope that Pumas can continue doing their aviation, their medical missionary work there in the Philippines. We hope they can continue doing that so that they can save people's lives, right? That's part of it. But why? We keep digging down and we get to the conclusion it is because we want those individuals whose lives are being saved at some point to come to the place to glorify the Father that is in heaven. Why do we give to the Hope Women's Shelter? Why do we give the offering for the poor? Why do we... And you can kind of go down the list there. And I could go move away from giving. Why do we come together as a community of believers every Sabbath and worship here together? What is the purpose? Our parents trained us. Our grandparents trained us. I can go again and say generation from generation has trained us. I mean, you realize that here collectively, we have lots of things that divide us. I mean, different nationalities, different countries, that's could be divisive. I have it in my notes, should I say it? Different football teams. Cardinals fans, Steelers fans, Broncos fans, how is it that we can all come together to worship a creator God? Do I even go further and say some of our congregation are Republicans and some are Democrats? How is it that we can come together and worship the creator God? I know some of you, I saw some heads turn. Who's a Democrat? Who's a Republican? I did. Oh, my. No, I'm not going to have you raise your hands. Turn your Bibles to another text, John chapter 13, where our scripture reading was from. John chapter 13. Verse 34, Jesus talking to his disciples there, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That this new commandment, love for one another. What does love look like? Have you ever felt loved? I mean, really loved. I mean, maybe you've felt respected. Maybe you felt like someone took pity upon you. Maybe you felt appreciated. But have you really felt loved? What does it look like if we were to love one another? I mean, to love somebody means that you begin to make decisions based on their best interest, not yours. I mean, you remember when you fell in love with your first child? They were little. You gave up some sleep. Why did you do that? You sacrificed some of your time. Why did you do that? Because you were in love. Something had stolen a part of your heart, had taken possession of you, and you were willing to do anything that you could on their best interest. What would happen as a church if we began to love one another the way Jesus describes it here for his disciples? What would it look like if we began to do what is in the best interest of the other person? You begin to think about some things, some relationships, husband and wife relationships. What would husband and wife relationships look like if we practice doing what was in the best interest of the other person? In the best interest of the other person. Do you know young people today, they are considering, they're thinking about, they are practicing not getting married. Do you know why they're making the decision not to get married? Because they have seen some of us get married, and they've seen what marriage is like. And inside marriage, when you get there, we have a tendency to continue living for ourselves. And if we continue living for ourselves inside marriage, what happens? Yeah, some of you know, it brings separation. And so the young people in our day and age today are making decisions. I don't want to get married. I'm scared to get married. I see what it does to people. They change when they get married. I mean, if marriages begin to practice Ephesians chapter 5, the description that is given there regarding marriage, I think we would have more young people saying, I want to be married. I want to be like them. We would have more marriages make it to 70 years of marriage. Now, I heard an amen there. When I heard that we had two couples here in our church, 70 years, 2025, that's a long time. Wouldn't it be nice if we had more that were lasting that long? What would happen if our young people, I don't know what age is young anymore, what would happen if young people began to treat elderly people with love and respect? That was one of the exciting things for me about living in Asia when I was in my 30s. My hair was almost as gray as it is now. And they would ask me, Pastor, how old are you? I would say, I'm as old as you think I am. As old as my hair says I am. And I would tell some of them that, knowing that they were older than me. I told Cheryl, Cheryl says, what are you doing? Are you lying to them? I said, no, they can think what they want. I said, this is the only way I get the respect I deserve. Yeah, I was selfish. So I began to tell them how old I was. And they said, oh, you need to be respecting me. What would happen if we treated one another with the respect that other people deserve simply because they are created in the image of God? They're a child of the King. What would happen if we loved the way Jesus loved? Verse 35 tells us the end result. It says, by this all will know that you are my disciples. All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's interesting. He didn't say, all will know you're my disciples if you are vegetarian, vegans. All will know that you are my disciples if you keep the Sabbath correctly. All will know that you are my disciples if you have the proper understanding of the Trinity. All will know that you are my disciples if you live a lifestyle that I have given you example of living. All will know you are my disciples if you love one another. What would it look like if we loved one another the way Jesus loved his disciples? And he shows us there in the context of John 13. It tells us they came together to celebrate the Passover. Everything had been prepared for the Passover. They come together, they eat the meal together. And then Jesus stands up after the meal and he girds himself with a garment, a towel. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. What is happening here? He's the rabbi. He's the teacher. He shouldn't be. John, you should have done this. You're the youngest. John, why aren't you doing this? You can't let him do this. Take the towel from him. Jesus continues and he takes the basin, he takes the pitcher, he pours the water. They are appalled at what is happening, but they don't know how to stop it. Finally, he gets to Peter and Peter knows how to stop it. He says, Master, no, you cannot wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Peter wanted to have part with Jesus, and he says, oh, Master, not just my feet, but my hands and my head also. Jesus told him, you only need your feet to be washed. Chapter 13 there of John. Verse 10 says, he said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Friends, this foot washing service that we as Seventh-day Adventists participate in, that we hold together, this is a way of showing our love for one another. This is a way of showing that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, but it's only a partial way. When people see you, when they see me washing each other's feet, that's not going to make them think we love one another. But that's the beginning. That's a first step. That's the way to get started. That's the way of saying I do in a marriage. A symbol of showing that we were in this together. Chapter 13 there, we keep reading verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garment and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." It's not enough just for us to have the right theology. It's not enough just to know what is written here in Scripture. It's enough for us to put these things into practice. Part one, committing ourselves to the Lord. Part two, following his example, doing what he says to do. Part three, let that seed grow in us, that love for one another. Let that continue to grow so that all may know that we are his disciples. I mean, I love that little phrase there. All will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do we want the world to know we are a disciple of Jesus Christ? It starts with love. Today we are continuing that process to follow in the footsteps of our Sabbath school lesson. Today we're doing the recommitment. We're doing what Joshua describes there. We're having that recommitment service. We're saying, I'm still a child of the Lord. I still believe his word. I'm still practicing. I still love my community of Jesus. I'm still his disciple. The Seventh-day Adventist Church practice what we call an open communion. That means you do not have to be a Seventh-day Adventist in order to participate in the communion service. If you love Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you have a relationship with him, we invite you to join with us as Adventists and participate in this service. Now, there are not a lot of other denominations that do the foot washing service. And some of the others that do the foot washing service only do it maybe once a year, or maybe once every 5 years, or maybe once whenever the pastor gets a whim to do it. But as an Adventist church, we traditionally do it every quarter because we know we need that reminder to love one another. And so we're going to separate, and we're going to go to rooms, and we're going to, two by two, practice what Jesus did with his disciples. There may be somebody in church that you need to say, "I'm sorry. I've hurt you. I apologize." You need to make things right. Now's a good time to go to them and to wash their feet. We have a room that's available. If you go out the doors here and turn to the right and go over here to the fellowship hall, the ladies are going to meet over in that space, and they're going to wash one another's feet. If you go out the door and go to the left, and the men, there's a door all the way at the end of the hall for the men, that they can have a room, and they can, two by two, wash one another's feet. There's also a room for families. If you go out as a family, and you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you go out the door and turn left, there's a room there on the side, not all the way at the end, but on the side down here, where you can go as a family and you can wash one another's feet. Like I said, this is planting the seed. This is reminding. This is renewing that commitment that we are all in this relationship with Jesus Christ. After we wash one another's feet, we're going to come back here into this room. And we're going to partake of the bread and the grape juice representing Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. And while we have been cleansed, we want to ask Jesus to come into our heart, into our life, and to live from within us. And so we want to partake of his body and his blood that was shed for us. I pray that this service will draw us together as a church family. I pray that others will see us and will glorify our Father in heaven. That others will see us and know that we are his disciples. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this service that you have given to us. As we separate to various rooms at this point in time, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit continue to go with us and would renew our relationships. As feet are washed, Lord, I pray that you would do your cleansing. As we come back and partake of the bread and the grape juice, Lord, I pray that you would fill us and that the world would know that we love you and we are living according to your will. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us separate at this time for the foot washing service.